welcome to another episode of Comic Syndicate. Check them out at thecomicsyndicate.podbean.com and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. And now, here are your hosts, Josiah and Adam.
Welcome to the Comic Syndicate episode 233. I'm Josiah Sapp for the villain on Twitter at comic_syndicate on Instagram. What's up, guys? I'm back one more week. I have a lot to go through, so I'm going to hit it like I normally do. I'm going to start off by hitting what we spoke about 100 episodes ago. Episode 133, we entitled hashtag Hotel Surprise. At Mem the Bean ran out for the villain row how crazy their weekends were. Then hit interesting news. What the fuck news? Japan recruits 6 secret spies. I believe this one, they literally hired like ninjas for this job, spies. So I told Adam he should put in an application for that one. He didn't buy it. We hit car flips 4 stories from park and garage. We hit wire pigeons wearing backpacks. I believe that was they were literally putting on backpacks on pigeons in London, I want to say Europe. London, I think. And to figure out weather patterns, this is what it was. We hit man with bionic penis loses virginity at the age of 44. Then we bounce around and hit comic talk. 5th Indiana Jones movie. We hit Han Solo casting. We hit Terminator 6 rumor. Person of Interest, bummer news, so that one got canceled. I was a huge fan of Person of Interest. With Batman v Superman, walking around Times Square, and nobody knows who they were. That was pretty funny. We hit the rating for the movie. We hit DC Comics film game plan, which they still don't know what they want to do. 100 episodes constitutes 2 years ago, guys. So the fact that DC Extended Universe still doesn't know what to do is interesting. We hit Amber Heard, Justice League, Aquaman, as Mera role. With DC Legends of Tomorrow finale, Gotham Renewal season 3, which I believe it's canceled after season 5 now. We hit Lobo movie talk. We hit X-Men Age of Apocalypse trailer. That movie was terrible, by the way. We hit Iron Fist casting confirmation. Captain America Civil War post credit. And we hit Black Panther Marvel Young Justice Civil War 2 talk and DC Rebirth, along with comic reviews. Silk number 5, Daredevil Punisher, 7th Circle. Number 1, we hit International Iron Man number 1. Uncanny Inhumans number 6. Extraordinary X-Men number 8, which was a book of the week. And that's all went down 100 episodes ago, guys. All right, this one, I think I have a lot to go through. So my bullet points this week, I'm going to start off by going through our summer movie draft 2018 update. This is a summer movie draft. So every summer, Alan and Anton put it together, mainly Alan from the 2OC podcast, RG's brother from the Deep Dives and Rabbit Holes podcast I do. Way cool guys, really down to earth. And we literally put in money into a pot and we have an auction for movies that come out during the summer. These are the final numbers, quote unquote. And I don't know who won yet. By the numbers, it looks like 7th place, Roslyn came up. 6th place was Alan. RG hit $511 million. Carlos took 4th place spot with $522 million. Anton, the co-host of the 2OC podcast, hit $569 million. Well, I think I said 1,000 earlier. Gianna, Carl's daughter, hit $629 million. And Josias took first place, quote-unquote, question mark, with $633 million. I think I won. This is my third time winning, if that's the case. It's always fun to do, guys. It's just, again, you put money in a pot, you get 100 credits, and we pull out each summer movie at random, and we literally have an auction for each movie. So, great crew. If you guys want to know more about it, follow the 2OC podcast. They're really great guys, really down to earth, and just a great podcast in general. For next one I'm going to hit on bullet points is going to be RG and I were tossing out shirt ideas. So I forgot what we dropped last week was a shirt I want to put out is I only have 2 settings, silent or violent. So would you guys buy a shirt like that? And if you guys would buy a shirt like that, any other sayings on either of the podcasts that you've heard where it's like, that sounds like a dope shirt. I want that. Or I want a sticker of that. Would you guys do it? Next bullet point is going to be, I really have to address the grind last week. So the grind last week was for me, honestly, putting out each podcast was honestly an ambitious fucking thing for me to pull off. Just an ass kicker in general. So I work two jobs and I juggle two podcasts. That's not the worst thing about it. I'm doing everything by myself, like legit, no help from anybody. So it was very ambitious, and it was an ambitious endeavor in general. But again, I dropped three podcasts last week. So it was Monday was Deep Dives. Wednesday was the Comic Syndicate. Friday was the third podcast. And it was the first time you guys had fresh content. Three back-to-back-to-back podcasts, but are so different in content that I was able to provide was dope. But even behind the scenes was a lot of fucking work, and it was just odd. And I'll go into that real quick because I feel really proud of each of those shows. And I feel slightly and oddly bad because, in my opinion, each of those podcasts last week deserve a full week of listening. So Deep Dives and Rabbit Holes, I believe it was, which one was it? I don't even remember. The Comic Syndicate was a good enough episode, I believe, where it deserved a full week listen. And even the new podcast idea, The Audio Chronicles, deserves its own full week listen. Like, I kind of feel like I gypped each podcast from each other because we could have been banking a good amount of listeners and fan base for each of those, getting more people intrigued or interested in each of these ones that, again, I still feel proud of. Like, I feel like I could have put those podcasts single-handedly against any fucking podcast, and it would have been like, for me, like, the content's fucking there. Like, what are you looking for? If you want pop culture, listen to Comic Syndicate. If you want thought-provoking, listen to Deep Dives and Rabbit Holes. If you want an interview with a dope person, listen to The Audio Chronicles. And that's just why it's a kind of bittersweet in an odd way. They were all standalone episodes, in my opinion. So a weekly podcast that straight up got turned into so much content with three podcasts that are completely different from each other again was just interesting to me. And I don't know. It was cool. It was something I'm going to try one more week. I kind of really do have to. And I really have to talk about The Audio Chronicles. Big thumbs up and thank you to RG. Like, RG came up with that title for me. I love picking his brain and walking to the office, and he starts brainstorming, and he's like, "You pulled it off." It's like, yeah, I think it was good. I think it was really good. And I listened to the interview with Rachel and from Madsen Creations from Cobb's Carnival of Dreams. It was a good interview. Like, I don't need to hear my voice. It was just like, I didn't talk a lot. I let her down and let her talk. And it was interesting for her to go through her life, her experiences. And I thought it was just really dope. And to come up with a title finally for it, The Audio Chronicles. Big, huge props to RG, my co-host on Deep Dives and Rabbit Holes. So thank you so much, man. Speaking of that, still follow up with the third podcast interviews for The Audio Chronicles Part 2 of 2. So this week I'm also going to drop, I dropped a Deep Dives and Rabbit Holes on Monday. I'm going to drop the Comic Syndicate recording this Tuesday. It's going to drop about midnight-ish Tuesday going into Wednesday. And Friday is going to be The Audio Chronicles Part 2 of 2, The Cromer Tapes. How do you guys enjoy the content so far? Is it too much for you? Are you guys hearing too much of me? Do I talk too much? That's a given. Yes, I do. So please follow these guys. They're really dope. So Rachel Madsen, Instagram at Madsen Creations, at Cobb's Carnival of Dreams. On Facebook, Cornelius Cobb's Carnival of Dreams. Find them. Go find them. Their GoFundMe account. And then find David Cromer. He's going to be on the next interview portion I have for the Audio Chronicles. Find David Cromer on Instagram at Explicit Sarcasm. And Explicit Sarcasm on Facebook as well. So that's all I got for that. The last part of bullet points is going to be how much I've had on my plate the past 2.5 weeks, probably. And this is not even just the podcast in general. Like, this is something I do for fun. A little bit burnt out, a little tired, a little bit of Josias, you do work too much. And a little bit of fuck Josias, you're tossing and running into your life. Like, how much more can you do? And honestly, just a little bit emotionally draining. So a lot of my friends know this. A lot of my – most of the coworkers know it. A bunch of the listeners do know it because you guys do hit me up on the side. Like, how's this going out? Or how's this going? It's just more personal, more close to home medical issues we're dealing with as a family. And it's gotten a little bit worse. And I feel like I've been in my own little world. And it's a weird little world because of everything that's been going on, this emotionally draining factor and this whole fact that I'm juggling so many things and these three podcasts and doing these on the side. I think my family doesn't see or get it. There's a time to be depressed and a time to be sad. And there's a time to dwell and to take time to mourn. This is not that time to mourn. We can be depressed. The way I deal with depression, or like, I don't feel sorry for people. Like that's what it is. I don't feel sorry for myself. I feel for people. I'm empathetic towards people. And to get home and to get nothing from people you care about is emotionally draining. And to know at the end of the day, there's not a goddamn fucking thing I can do. Like, I'm trying to be there for someone. And to see how physically bad it's gotten is an ass kicker. So me, the way I look at things in life is, you know what, Josias? Yeah, we're not going to feel sorry for yourself. Like, yeah, we're going to be empathetic and sympathetic for what that person is going through still. But I feel like I have to do more. So that's when the depression goes out the window, or feeling sorry for myself, because it's not fucking poor me right now. It's not poor you. It's not poor you. It's not poor you. It's not poor you. It's what we're going through, and that person deserves the attention and needs more people around them so they can understand that, you know what, dude, we're not done fighting this bullshit yet. So the way I'm going about life is during those instances, I, again, don't feel sorry for myself. I feel the need to create more. So these cheesy podcasts that I'm doing, it might seem like Josias doesn't have enough time for anyone. He doesn't care about anyone or anything but himself or these podcasts. No, it's not that. I started running again just to be healthy and or healthier. I'm doing these podcasts because I need to create something. So using depression or feeling sad, or even though people would feel sorry for themselves, like, I don't let myself go into that dark place anymore. I use that darkness and I use it to create something. That's the way I cope. That's my coping mechanism, is to create stuff, content for people to listen to and hopefully enjoy and realize, like, holy shit, homeboy's got a lot on his plate. And even though everyone has been there, honestly, in a certain way, like, the way I'm going about my life is to create more. And that's honestly legit where I'm coming from. And three podcasts a week is time consuming. And just the week I've had in general, the past 2 weeks, like, the stories I can tell you guys would laugh. Like, Josias, that did not fucking happen to you. No, all this went down. And not to me, but just like, holy shit, like, your life is fucking hilarious. Like, there's no way I can look at my life and just be pity party for me. Because, again, the way I look at my life is, I'm fighting for someone. Like, if someone doesn't have the energy to do something, I have all the energy to do it. So if something happens at work, if I get a flat tire, if anything happens in my life, like, it's making me humbled. Completely fucking humbled. Because I'm learning now, like, there's no reason for you, Josias, to bitch about the small things in life. You know, the insignificant bullshit cards. You want a card? Okay, I'm going to send you 20 more cards just to make you fucking happy. I'm a busy fucking guy, yes. And to add more things into my life to keep busy. Not necessarily keep my mind off of things, but in a way, I kind of am. And is that a bad thing? Honestly. Like, I'm not doing coke, I'm not doing rails, I'm not getting fucked up. Like, I'm not doing shit, I'm creating things. Is that a worse drug than fucking doing actual drugs? Creating something. to not just make myself feel better, but to make, hopefully, again, you guys as an audience feel better about things that are going on in your lives. And that's honestly all I have. Those are my bullet points, guys. This is not a pity party. This is just Josias is going through a lot, and I know I've been snappy with people. Again, there's the insignificant things that people bitch about. I'm tired of a lot of things in not my life, but the way I view things and see people in my life. It's like, you're fake. Oh my God, you're completely fake. Crying about this small thing, complaining about this. And I try not to do that anymore. It's just, no, there. I don't have room for that in my life. It's just create, be good to people around me and be forgiving. And that's pretty much what it is. My family doesn't listen to this. So it's just a documentation that they're never going to hear. But it honestly is a love letter. And again, description of what I'm going through. So I'm not going to bore you guys any more than that. Give me a few minutes. I'll be right back with some comic talk.
Hey, this is Scott Snyder. I'm writing All-Star Batman this year, and you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
I'm Mitch Gerrans, the artist and Sheriff of Babylon.
I'm Tom King, the writer of Sheriff of Babylon, and you're listening to the
Comic Syndicate.
This is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman, and you're listening to the Comics Syndicate.
Hi, my name is Brian Bucciolato, and I listen to the Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Chris Michello. We're hanging out here at Frank and Sons, and are having a good time on a Sunday or Saturday afternoon. And you're listening to me live on the Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Brian Michael Bendis, and you are listening to the Comic Syndicate.
Comic Talk.
Okay, psych. We're not going to go into comic talk yet. It's second week of October, and I got to go through some spooky story talk real quick. So let me cock block comic news real quick with some more spooky story. Colorado, the many legends of Riverdale Road. And this one's going to be Riverdale Road is the site of not one, but eight creepy stories, ranging from a hell gate to ghosts of slaves hanging from the trees. The stretch of road is decidedly spooky. The creepy story, is that of the Phantom Jogger. One day, there was a driver who hit a jogger, freaked out, and left him for dead. Now, it's said that if you park at the site of the crash, you'll hear disembodied footsteps getting closer and closer to your car. People have reported handprints on their windows and banging noises as if someone was kicking the outside. Next one's going to be, again, this is off of 50 states, the most spooky stories from each state. Connecticut is next. Hannah Crana, her real grave in Trumbull, Connecticut, known as the quote-unquote Wicked Witch of Monroe. Hannah Crana gained a reputation as a witch in the 19th century when her husband died by mysteriously falling off a cliff, and locals reportedly believed that she had bewitched him. People also believed that she would cast spells on people she didn't like. Hannah lived till the age of 77, but right before she died, she asked to be carried down to the cemetery in her coffin by foot, not wagon. After her death, the people of Monroe tried to wheel her coffin down the hill, but were unable. The coffin kept falling off, so they were forced to carry it. When the townspeople returned her to her home, it was found to be engulfed in flames, sealing Hannah's reputation of witchcraft. Next one's going to be from the state of Delaware, the ghost of Mr. Chu, the home of Mr. Chu in Dover, Delaware. While not particularly mean-spirited ghost, the story of Samuel Chu is still disconcerting. Chu was the Chief Justice of the Delaware Supreme Court in 1741. While he was alive, he didn't always get the respect he deserved. People frequently made fun of his name by mimicking sneezes while he walked by. After his death, people report seeing his ghost sitting under a poplar tree, wandering the courthouse and generally creeping out the residents of Dover. Chu would also pull on men's coattails and give women a cold, icy feeling. Last one for now is going to be Florida, the gravity-defying Spook Hill. A sign explains the story of the popular attraction. The phenomenon that happens at Spook Hill is real. Cars that are parked in neutral will appear to roll uphill. Legends say the hill is either the site of the Native American burial ground or an epic battle of the Native American chief against a crocodile. Let me turn the page. But the truth is, it's actually just an illusion created by the hill's surroundings. while cars appear to be rolling uphill. They are still just rolling downhill. So yeah, trickster type of deal. All right, that's all I got for a spooky story, and that was debunked right off the bat. All right, guys, comic talk. You guys ready for that? 3, 2, 1. The Witcher creator issues demand for more royalties from the game developer. If you, any of you guys are a fan of those series. Anyways, Robert Kirkman's Outcast. Bummer news on this one, dude. Robert Kirkman's Outcast is canceled by Cinemax. Now, this one is an Image Comics title. I love the fuck out of it. Robert Kirkman's the writer. Paul Azatecas, I believe, is the artist. It's a dope story. It deals with possession, and it's really good, and they made it into a show on Cinemax, and it got canceled. So, unfortunately, that's a bummer. This one, I don't know how I feel about this one. I love it. The character, I hate that they're going to do this. Mega Man live action film in the works by Capcom. I'm a huge Mega Man fan, video games. I don't like this news at all. Next one's going to be Marvel news. Star Wars The Mandalorian starts production. First image and directors revealed. So if you guys want to look that up, Star Wars The Mandalorian, it's going to be produced, directed by Jon Favreau is the director. And it looks good. Like, to me, grounded Star Wars universe. And I'm definitely down with that. Dallas Howard to direct on The Mandalorian as well. So Thor Ragnarok director Taika Waititi and Jurassic World star Bryce Dallas Howard will each direct episodes of Star Wars The Mandalorian. I love what Waititi did on Thor Ragnarok, and I'm curious what she brings to the table as far as Bryce Dallas Howard. Her dad's Ron Howard, so yeah, it's in her blood, right? Next one's going to be interesting. I don't know how I feel about this. Disney developing a live-action Lilo and Stitch remake. I've never seen the movie. I hear it's good. Is it worth watching, and do we really need a live-action version of it? I mean, we're going to have a live-action Aladdin. We're going to have a live-action Mulan. I haven't seen The Jungle Book. I've heard good things about that. I haven't seen, Beauty and the Beast. I've heard good things about that. So if they can make it good, let's rock it out, dude. Next one is going to be report Marvel Studios is developing a Dark Avengers movie. We're going to get there shortly. I'll go into that briefly. Next one's going to be Daredevil Bullseye. Season 3 arc gets very, very weird. The trailer for Daredevil Season 3 on Netflix has dropped this week, and I'm fucking stoked about it. So yes, give me that. Next one's going to be, and that one starts next week, the 19th of October. Next one's going to be Disney Fox deal could be completed earlier than expected. While the Disney Fox merger was originally planned to be completed in 2019, a new report reveals that the date might be bumped, though the official forecast for the close of the Disney-Fox merger is set for early 2019. Personal moves made this week by Fox have some insiders believing that the deal could be closed sometime this year. So if we can get those characters back, that's all it means, guys, is just to get these Marvel properties back into their catalog of these movie companies that know how to do them properly, like Sony and Fox suck, straight up. Give them back to Fox Studios, which technically is a Disney entity. Now, we need that. And minus the monopolization, which I know why people are complaining about. I get that aspect, too. I'm going to have a debate about that soon enough. Next one's going to be Chris Evans officially wraps Avengers 4 filming, and he thanks Marvel fans for the last 8 years. So after going through a period of reshoots, Chris Evans bids farewell to the role of Captain America last Thursday. This was 10-4. He says on his Twitter, officially wrapped on Avengers 4. The actor wrote on Twitter, it was an emotional day to say the least. Playing this role over the last 8 years has been an honor. To everyone in front of the camera, behind the camera, and in the audience, thank you for the memories. Eternally grateful. So he's done completely with that. I can't wait for it still, dude. Next one's going to be DC Talk. Sci-Fi's Krypton finds its Lobo for season 2. Lobo's an old character. I don't watch Krypton. He looks cool. I mean, the picture came out. He looks good. That's all I have for you guys on that. Batman, Mask of the Phantasm, returns to theaters. Fuck, I keep butchering my words today. Theaters in November. Ahead of the 25th anniversary of its original release, the animated Batman, the Mask of the Phantasm will return to select theaters for one night only on 11-12, so November 12th, and it's another Fathom Events gig. I normally go to those. I saw Transformers with my friend 2 weeks ago. Just to watch those movies on the big screen again is fucking dope. You guys got to try it. Next one, DC Universe's Titans Season 2 confirmed. This happened at New York Comic Con, even though Season 1 hasn't dropped yet. They already greenlit Season 2. Next one's going to be interesting. Ben Affleck reportedly still wants to play Batman. Despite several setbacks, Ben Affleck reportedly still wants to return as Warner Brothers' Batman, presumably in director Matt Reeves' film. He is back in shape, not only for his health, but he has a newfound love on doing Batman at least one more time again, an anonymous source said, to be close to the actor told Hollywood Life. He feels he isn't finished with what he wants to do with the character. There has been talk about replacing him, but he has now seen what he might lose and really wants to play the character again. You know what? Yeah, dude, I really liked him as Bruce Wayne and Batman, too. And if as long as he gets help and get cleaned, then that's all. Number one is more important than anything else. All right, guys, that's all I got for comic news. I mean, I have a bunch more stuff, but we're going to go through comic reviews right now. First one I'm going to hit is going to be a Marvel title. It's going to be Shatterstar number one. Tim Seeley is the writer. Gerardo Sandoval is the artist. I love Tim Seeley. First of all, his writing's dope. Gerardo Sandoval, his art is just fucking dope. Anyways, and Carlos Vela is the inker. So this genetically engineered character was trained to be a warrior in a gladiatorial arena called on this planet called Mojo World. So he shows him opening up on the first page 100 years ago, and he's in this gladiatorial arena. It's just like a pan shot of him. Then jumps to him now, now taking up current time, a different identity as Ben Gavidra, where he poses as a landlord now. So he used his money from the X-Factor, which was his prior team, to open up this facility to others from alternate dimensions and parallel futures to make better timelines for themselves. So going back to Shatterstar again, he was a new member of the New Mutants right before they turned into X-Force, and I was a huge X-Force fan. I think the thing I hated about X-Force the most, I mean, the art was dope, but the artist could not draw feet. He introduced Gideon, Domino, and Deadpool. And the artist, he's a good artist. He draws boobs on men. No offense. Look up Captain America, Rob Liefeld. That's him. Pull up Deadpool's feet and Google those. Those are legit fucking things. He didn't know how to draw feet. I think he finally realized, like, I shouldn't draw boobs on men. And I think he finally realized how to draw feet on people. Anyways, it was a lot Rob Liefeld, and the way he drew Shatterstar, I loved the fuck out of him. And I loved X-Force, I loved Cable, I loved Richter, I loved Boom Boom, I love Sunspot, I love Cannonball, these characters I grew up with, so I know them. So now it goes through his life as a landlord now, and everyone that lives in his complex. We see a dog named Carl that has taken up residency here. He's from another dimension. We see another friends, brothers called Goldon and Crimzor, and they're brothers again from another dimension. We see another mutant woman who's a commando from a dark future that was sent to kill a young girl, and she couldn't kill this young girl that when her future was supposed to destroy it because she was part from hell, and it didn't happen because now she's taking care of this girl. So all these characters we're seeing, this guy called Dwayne Taylor, he's Night Thrasher on his world. Tina Cook comes from an odd world where there's no superheroes. There are no gods. But she decided to stay on this 616 Earth. So the Marvel Universe is 616. That's that world. So this woman who has just movies, essentially she's from our world. Like, she's like, oh, so much more exciting stuff happens in your world. I want to go with you. That's where she comes from. And she always wants to know more from Shatterstar about his days as, you know, a superhero. But she never gets that he always feels uncomfortable talking about his old adventures. So now it's really cool because now we see him on his downtime. And in his day-to-day life now, all he loves to do now, he enjoys going to plays. So opposed to where he was born as a gladiator, we see the parallels now complete. Like, he like would prefer just a show as opposed to fighting on in this arena and getting praises all the time. It was really cool to see the back and forth in that, just so he can get lost. So now as he's out in this play watching his show, we see his tenants getting attacked and abducted. So these back and forth scenes are really cool too. Where we see Ben walking home afterwards now, remembering his boy Richter as he passes a club. And it's cool to briefly see that interaction too. Like, everyone was always looking at him. All the women in the 90s were looking at him. Shatterstar, like, wow, that guy's a stud. Like, I want to get with that dude. And he was always training. He was always busy working on himself, like his physical attributes, him training to be this physical specimen and killer that he was always involved in his training more than anything, that he wouldn't look at women and he wouldn't look at men. But eventually, once you got to know him, he was bisexual, this character. So it was really interesting back then to get his story. So now he just gets these old feelings again. So even for them to portray this in issue number one was kind of cool. So now he finally gets home and he checks his video footage, and we see him going through it and him pissed off, like, what the hell? He sees one of his boys, his tenants on the ground, like, I tried to fight them off. I'm so sorry. And he gets pissed off. One of his tenants dies in his arms. That's when he goes to his tapes, and we see this mercenary unit known as the Death Sponsors from this Mojo world. So now where the scene jumps now back to his old days again, fighting a woman named Gringrave. And he's getting his ass kicked back then, 100 years ago, where something interesting happens. She says, you're going to be my partner, Shatterstar. I'm going to teach you. Capitalize on that natural talent. Lesson one, convincingly give the audience what they want by wanting the same thing. And then she pulls him and kisses him. And that's the last time he remembers with her, or issue number one, that's the last we see of it. So now we see, we get his inner monologue go off now. And he's like, she had given his character motivation. It's like belief, desire. She made him who he was in that time before. And as he's doing this, he's pulling up his old things again. His old suit, his swords, his double bladed swords. And they abducted his friends. Essentially his tenants that are his friends. He cares about these people. Issue number one, he gets forced to go back to work when you just need a fucking day off and someone forces you to go back to work. Kind of like how my life feels and sounds like sometimes. So that was the first one I'm going to hit, or that's the first one. Next one I'm going to hit, sorry, is going to be Batman The Max Arkham Dreams, number one. This is a crossover. This is going to be an IDW and a DC Comics crossover. Sam Keith is the artist and writer. If any of you guys know Batman, you guys all know Batman. If you guys don't know The Max, Google The Max. I went through him briefly a few months ago. He was an Image Comics character. It's a very psychological comic. It's a psychosis, psyche in general, and the art's dope, and it's just really cool. If any of you guys know that character, it starts off now with the Max, speaking of the Outback, his Outback. He's speaking of the Leopard Queen. These strange creatures that do inhabit this Pangea, as the page is a face-off with Batman. So we see the background, Pangea, his Outback, and it's both of them facing off. And then he says, inner monologue, but something's wrong. Where the hell am I? Something's happened. The Outback feels different. The smell of burnt earth, windy foreboding clouds, drought and famine haunt the empty plains. So as he appears, jumps now to Gotham as Batman is in his Batmobile and comes across a soup kitchen line where he notices a commotion and decides to accompany the cops over what's going on. This bum, this bulky fucking bum, just causing a scene. So he helps out the cops. He's like, this is a big dude. They might need help. So they take him in. They get word instead. So the cops, instead of bringing him into the police department, they get called to bring him into Arkham Asylum, where one of the doctors, as soon as they show up, explains to Batman what's going on, what the Outback is. And he's like, to Batman, it is the forgotten or primal parts of the human psyche, the unconscious mind. Then they come to realize that the Max may be instead getting used to, maybe getting used by this point. The doctors explain to Batman, like, he's getting used. Like, there are villains that know this Outback, and it's a part of our minds. It's a part of our psyche, everyone's psyche, and they're using him for his Outback to use it against him and use it against us to bring it into the real world to manifest itself so they can take over. That's the gist of what's going on. So it's really cool that they finally come to realize this and that he is getting used. And we get where the Max finally argues like the Outback is dying and that he's the only one that can rescue the Jungle Queen. So the doctor finally conducts some tests on the Max. Batman's still there the whole time. Batman is intrigued by the doctor's motives, though. And the doctor explains that he contains, the Max contains classified government information, where Batman even more so now disapproves of what the doctor is doing, and he sees his motives. So now this doctor is able to also tap into Batman's brain patterns, because he's literally putting this contraption on him. And granted, yes, it's Batman. He's always 20 steps ahead. But it kind of makes sense in a stupid way, because Batman would never let that happen. But again, if you know Sam Keith's writing and the whole psych thing, it's going to make sense in a weird way. So we see, you know, this contraption get put on the Max, but the brain waves, these brain patterns that it's giving off, is fucking up Batman as well, and it kind of knocks him unconscious as well. So Batman says, and it's really cool now to see Batman wake up, and he's in the Outback. So again, if you guys know the world of the Max, to see Batman in the Outback is pretty dope. Batman says, all this may not be real. The Max says, don't be confused by the shadows of the other world, Gray Man. Pain affects us in what you call the real world too. The Outback's burdens are far-reaching and more deadly and ominous, like a diseased tree rotting from the inside out. So the way I'm picking that up is, again, knowing the Max and knowing it's a psychological thing. And it has always been a psychological trip, and dealing with mental issues, trauma, anything like that is a thing. And that's always been the purpose behind the Max. Go back and reread those. Those are great fucking stories. So it's not cool, really cool to see the two working together, as Batman is still trying to gather clues on how much both worlds resemble and reflect each other. So every creature in the Outback has a real-world equivalent, says Batman. So it's real cool, dope as it continues on. The Max mentions that this is not his Outback. That if it is, it's the home of Julie Winters, of the Leopard Queen. That she must be sick or dying because of how dark, how twisted this Outback is. So that was interesting, because I'm like, ooh, I think I know where this is going. So now as they look for Julie, they come across her fortress. And it's called an archetypal. And that's where Batman finally puts something together. And again, very interesting. And Batman says, is there even a chance this unfamiliar land is somehow my own Outback? I've had my share of traumatic secret caves. And that's where I'm like, yeah, like, let's dive into your fucking psyche. Because you are the most fucked up and the most tormented Bruce Wayne. Batman, until they finally come across the Queen, and they ask her about her land and how it got so dark, how it got so distorted, how it got so perverted outside, and what's become of it. And then we get where Batman's take on it as they meet this Jungle Queen, and it's not the Leopard Queen, it's not Julie Winters that I'm used to, that we're used to, if you guys have read it before, where we get Batman's take on it, and it's similar somewhat to the Max's version or view or the way he sees the Leopard Queen or this queen. And this queen refers to herself as the Purple Queen. And Batman's like, we'll figure this out. Don't worry. But again, to see like how Batman is drawn into the Outback and maybe realizing like, shit, I'm in my own psych and I'm going to end it soon. So it's really cool. We see Batman's take on it again. Similar to the Maxes and them going now on this journey to stop this darkness. Then we see them jump back in a brief panel where they both jump back to the real world and jumps back to the Outback. And again, the scene play is just beautiful because it's like, that's Sam Keith and that's what he fucking does. And once they kind of snaps back into the Outback, the Max wants to attack the Gray Man. And he's like, dude, we were just cool right now. What the fuck? It's like, we gotta save the fucking, the Purple Queen. He's like, how do you know who the Purple Queen is? Dude, we were just talking to her. So Sam Keith is a good writer. He knows how to write some sort of comedic tones and notes to it. But the personality of the Max compared to Batman, Bruce Wayne, is interesting. And if we're going to get to dive into Batman's psyche is dope, and I'm completely down with this world. And you know what? I always loved the Max in general because, again, the story is about psych and trauma and traumatic experiences as kids, no matter what we went through, even as adults, how things can traumatically affect us in ways that fuck with our mind. And if you go through a traumatic enough of an experience, it's going to mess with you even when you become an adult. So that Batman's here now and has to confront it is pretty dope and gnarly, and I love it. So that's my book of the week. Sorry if I went long this week, guys, and thank you for bearing with me the first 15 minutes of the show. I just wanted to keep you guys up to date with what's going on. Don't mind me if I'm stressed. Like, it's not even stressed. Like, I'm never stressed. I'm never overwhelmed. It's just sometimes everyone deserves to have a fucking bad day. And you know what? I deserve to fucking have a bad fucking day. So much love to you guys. Don't think you guys are doing anything wrong. It's just a lot on my plate, and you guys all, I know, understand. So I know I don't have to apologize to you guys for any of that. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, anywhere you guys can find podcasts. I always appreciate it. Share the podcast more than anything. You guys can find the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play again. Find me at comic_syndicate1 on Instagram. Find me at ForTheVillain on Twitter. Find me at comic_syndicate1 on Twitter. I will catch you guys next week. Thanks again for everything. I love you guys. Peace out.